Hands up, hashtag with Bev. Ooh, parent talk, hashtag with Bev. So, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be an exciting show because I'm recording in a new, with a new app thing. I don't know. So we're going to see how this is going to play out. So for those of you who are used to this podcast, you'll know that this is Parent Talk with Bev. Hashtag with Bev. I am a black British mother of West Indian descent with two children, one at university, one in the sixth form, living at home. We're based in London. I'm not an expert in anything. I'm just sharing my thoughts, opinions, and experiences in the hope that it will help someone, another parent, or someone out there. So, what we're going to do, we're going to play with some of these buzzers. There is no question here, but let me just state for the record. Last week, I posted two podcasts. That was a mistake. I was meant to post one and have one for this week. But because I posted two and there was no way to retract it because people had already started downloading it, I was like, you know, just going to have to let this one go be. So anyway. What are we talking about today, my lovely people? We're talking about words. When words become weapons, our relationships soon become casualties. I read that somewhere. I can't remember where. I'm normally good at quoting where I get stuff from, but I remember I wrote, I was thinking about this. Actually, I do write sometimes. I just write my scripts so that I can be aware. And then sometimes I'm just talking to you like flying off a handle. So today, though, it's not a fly off the handle, right? I had written this podcast last year, May, I think. And I don't think I recorded it. Don't know why. Or maybe I have. Anyway, we're just going to test this out and see. So I was saying that, you know, when words become weapons, our relationships soon become casualties. So children must be seen and not heard. Do you remember that? I do. When I was growing up, that saying was always used. Children should be seen and not heard. So I learned fast to be quiet. And I knew that that would please my parents. Unfortunately, that just meant that when I was at school, I was a chatterbox. The one who expressed herself in class because at home, that wasn't done. You never challenged or spoke back because it was taken as a challenge and then all hell would break loose. Oh, you think you're a big woman in yourself. Sorry, you think you're a big woman in here, for those who don't know the lingo, right? I'm going to show you if you think, say, you're big in yassa. Well, you can well imagine. And it would just mean that I'd get into arguments, I'd get a tongue lashing, sometimes I'd get a whooping because I thought that I was an adult because I was chatting back. And school became the place where I could express what was developing or forming in my head, whether it was appropriate or not. You see, when I became a teacher myself, and a program manager for some department in this college, I recognized those children, and so I gave them space. Anyway. Back to the topic before I digress. But at home, the message of being seen and not heard was regularly reinforced. My mother used to shout at me that I was hard of hearing. You're too hard of hearing. Or she'd say that I was going to amount to nothing. You're going to amount to nothing. She also said a lot of other words that she has since apologized for. But some of those words helped damage my developing self-esteem, my self-confidence, and it contributed to my lack of belief in my own voice. Now, obviously, my mother wasn't expecting that to be the end result, because she's just doing what had been done to her, because that's what you do as a parent. You just redo the same old stuff. Well, if you do that, you're obviously going to get the same result. Anyway, I'm trying a new thing here. So if you hear different sounds popping in and out, but go with it. In some of my relationships, some partners made it clear they wanted to walk with the external package and not the internal one that spoke or asked questions. Others were either attracted to my articulations, and that's rare in number, whilst a clear majority felt intimidated and tried to insert me into their box to just look pretty, and that any intellect I express reflected on their ownership and not partnership. And I, my part, I was a willing participant of this in exchange for love. Anyway, that's another story. But I remember a partner's brother had informed him that I should sit in the kitchen with the women and not on the porch with the men having conversation. I was in the USA at the time, and I found that really hilarious, considering one, I was having a cigarette break and couldn't do that in the kitchen. Two, the conversation amongst the men were far more interesting than in the kitchen with the women and the children, because I had none at that point. And three, the men were talking about Amsterdam's red light district. And since none of them had even flown to Holland to actually visit it in reality, and as the only person on that porch who had, I felt this was a topic I was qualified to speak on. But I guess not. I had just crept out of my box. Anyway, back to the impact of words. But that did leave an impression with me. But I'm sure that that story will come out another time. Look, our children are smart enough to know when to listen, especially when you think the doors are closed or they're in bed asleep. Those were the times me and their father, you know, I'm talking about my past relationship, you know, those were the times when me and their father would have words, so to speak. My daughter let me know she and her sister were busy listening to Dad and my conversations at the top of the stairs. So I can only think they were listening to when he would often accuse me of either sleeping with somebody or that I must be unhappy with him because I wanted someone else rather than deal with the simple query that was about where he had been all day or sometimes all night. But that is another story. I guess like most children, we looked at our parents and wanted to be like them or think that they were our heroes, even when we might know the difference. We want nothing more than to please them. For us to look at them and say, I'm pleased with you, you did good. That's what the kids want from us. So sometimes it's hard to know when it's okay to speak up. Let me be clear. I never talked back to my mother. That was things white kids did. When my mother spoke, it was law, not discussion. Her words were the only words you listened to, not the teacher, not external busybodies, not the police. Childline? What childline? You did what was expected. Go to school, get an education, get a good job, done. Anything in between, you learn from it. Job done. Just don't bring the police to my door or get pregnant. Another job done. So when I look at these snippets of my experience, a few things spring out for me. One, words were weapons that I couldn't fight at home, so I became fast-witted and used words against others when I was on street. Depending on how I flexed with you, depended on whether we were spars or not. I wasn't a bad girl because my mother was madder. So that life wasn't really calling me. But I learned how to use words to cut people down, whether in argument or using humour, dry humour sometimes. My kids say I still have aspects of that raw quality today. And they're right. Two, the words that were rarely spoken to me became the words I seeked to hear from others, whether friends or lovers. This led me down some blasted tunnels I was sure glad to get out of. Me can tell you that for now. Some I got out of quick time and some took a little bit longer. I guess I was searching for the language of love, the vocabulary of love. I knew my mum loved me, although sometimes I had real doubts about it. And during those doubting times, and times I was seeking love, we had seasons of dry spells. Let's say I wasn't the daughter that I am now to her, and let's leave it at that. I understood the practicalities of love. Cook, clean, tidy up, wipe your ass, wipe your nose, pay the bills, keep the roof over your head, cook, food, etc., etc. But I see where words became important to me. How did this become important in parenting, I ask you? Well, I hear you ask that question. Well, one, I initially heard myself repeating the same words my mother and father said to me, so much so that it scared the hell out of me. Why? Because I did not want to be like them. I had benefited from education and experiences that they didn't have access to, so this should make me better than them, right? No. Sometimes I reverted to what was familiar and sometimes hating myself or for being that way, but I just couldn't get out of the habit. Soon bitterness, resentment naturally flowed and disappointment because I just couldn't seem to shake or change what I could not see, what I could see happening to me. And most of all, I wanted to change because I didn't want and I don't want my kids to have the same experiences that I had or feel the way that I had felt. And most of all, I don't want them to be wounded like I was. Two. Why, how is this important to parenting, I hear you say? Well, number two. So I have to be willing to change. And how was I going to manage that? There's no parent manual. Things I read didn't resonate with me because they were speaking from an experience I didn't share. So I had to reinvent things, borrowing something from here and there. I needed to be willing to listen to other mothers who had experiences that I could identify with or learn from. Let me tell you, there wasn't a lot of books to run to for that sort of help. So I was left with trying something new that was all mine and hoping that they worked. I guess I came to have some peace about the fact that I was who I was. And that one quality that I had was that I was being open. Open to learn. Open to try something new, even if I was the only one doing it. Reflecting on stuff and trying to put them into practice. I tried to be practical and honest with myself and with my kids. I felt it was important for my kids to know that there are more than two sides to things. And more than anything, when I was growing up, I asked why a lot. My mother's normal response was, "Because I said so." Now, I would use the same term, "because I said so." But then I'd explain. Why would I explain? Let me be clear. There were some times that I would just say, "because I said so," without any explanation, because my kids needed to know that not every time I was going to explain to them, and that sometimes a command was just that, a command. Especially when we might be on the street. But when we got home, and we had the time to recap, I would explain why things had gone down the way they had. Now, I found myself doing something that I thought only white women did with their kids. When I used to take my baby to mom and toddler groups around the area in which we lived, it was usually white parents that I saw mixed with. What we called yuppie mums, or yuppie mummies. You know, the type that stay at home, mums, the posh speaking ones who said, "Oh, Johnny, don't do that, darling. Mummy doesn't like it." Oh, that used to frustrate the heck out of me, that they would be treating the child like they would an adult, going into long, long explanations as to why they shouldn't do this and that. I used to come away saying, "never going to go to that group again." I thought that all was for show. I thought it was all for show and not really how it went down at home. But sometimes I found mothers I could identify with, and we became friends, talking about similar struggles, and especially around how to bring up children in a hostile society that didn't have a high expectation of them. The divide between black and white kids, those with money versus those without, gift horse versus opportunities, networking with the right people who can open doors versus networking with those who chat the chat but have no substance, and the list can go on and on. So words of affirmation became important. Sticking up for my children in school became a must, and trying to prepare them to walk in a world that didn't value them, their grandparents' contributions to this society, the sacrifices our ancestors had, all that their sacrifices that me as their mum and their dad made, could only be done with affirming words. However, words only deal with the thinking side of our brain and not the emotional and spiritual sides. I found a useful tool that helped me thinking and emotionally which I believe transformed the relationship between myself and myself, my children, my children's relationship with each other. And it helped us to be more of a team in our house, especially after their father had left. And this tool was the five languages, or the five love languages. I love to call it the five languages of love, but that's not what it's called. It's called the five love languages. The five love languages is a book based on something created by a marriage counsellor and pastor, Gary Chapman, to explain how people give and receive love. Now, according to Chapman, if you want to show love to someone, you should show love in the same language that that person shows love. Chapman says individuals show love in one of five ways: through words of affirmation, acts of service, spending quality time, giving gifts, and physical touch. Again, let me be clear. I'm telling you about this because I found it useful. I am not endorsing anything. I'm just sharing what I used. And I ain't getting paid for sharing it. So let's be clear. So around 2015, I got a part-time job as a family liaison for a small charity that was based in Camberwell. And they were doing leadership programs for young black boys. And part of my role was to liaise with the schools. But I also had to develop a parenting program. And as part of this, I discovered books and quizzes, and I'd use them to test them out myself. And no surprises for me when I did this quiz from his book. I found that words of affirmation were one of my top indicators that demonstrated how I gave love and how I received it. But I was interested to see what the preferred love languages were of my children. And that's where this became interesting. My preferred love language was not theirs. So all my words were falling on deaf ears. Or should I say, the impact that I had hoped for was not happening. Shock number one. I was mashing up my gums. Nobody was listening because it's not their language of love. Ooh, sir. My eldest at the time was around, I think, 12, 13, and the youngest was about 11, 12. And that was like the terrible teens, I hear you say. Well, an aspect of it was because, yes, it was because they were fighting like cat and dog. And they couldn't bear to be around each other, which was a real stress point for me. That's another podcast, you know that. Anyway, I was sharing with them the outcome of my quiz and how insightful it was. And my eldest made it clear that she wasn't interested in taking any quiz. Drop the mic, walk out the room. So I persuaded my youngest to do her quiz, and it revealed her preferred love language. Well, this was interesting. And we began to talk about what that looked like for us. Curiosity must have got the better of my eldest, who was listening to our chit-chat, and next day said she wanted to do the quiz. She had a different love language to ours, which really opened up our discussion, our talking. More importantly, I was able to show the both of them where they were actually loving each other, but in a different way. What was the impact? Well, the impact for my youngest child, let me tell you. My eldest didn't like to be late, and so would get up early, iron her and her sister's school shirts, and prep breakfast for them both so they could head out the house early enough to get to school. Now, her youngest sister didn't realize this was her sister's language of love. Once she realized, I saw a change in their relationship. And this was a tool to help us understand each other and changed us a little for the better. Seeing the two of them realize that they loved or received love and gave love differently really opened up their relationship. Because from that one act, my youngest suddenly realized that, oh, my sister doesn't really hate me. Because she does her acts of love are the cooking the breakfast, the this and that. You know, my eldest was like, I just don't want to be late. So if it means I've got to get you out of bed and do blah, blah, blah. She wasn't even seeing that it was her love language. But the impact for me, I realized that instead of looking at the times when my eldest kept pestering me, that this was time she wanted love from me. You know, sometimes your child keeps coming up to you, mom, 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 and they want you to pay attention and you're doing all manner of things in your life. I ain't got time for this. I got to do this and I got to do that. But actually, their language of love is that they just want some time. She wanted some time from me. So I realized, and I said to her, I realized that you want time. You want my undivided attention. So how are we going to do this? And she decided she wanted time when she'd come home from school. So that's what we did. We agreed 15 minutes. So whatever I was doing, I would stop and give her that 15 minutes without diverting my attention. I had no phone, no laptop, no TV, no cooking. Only her. This 15 minutes soon turned into 20, 30, 40, an hour. At first, the temptation was to advise or suggest or argue about some point or other. Then I got the hang of it and I just listened. I asked questions like, how did that make you feel? What do you think you want to do about it? What did you feel about that? What do you think you could have done better? What would you have liked to do better? What might you try next time? How do you think it might go if? How you think you're going to act next time? What do you think might be the consequences? Do you need me to help? Do you need me to act? Now she's at university, we still do it. When she was on a survival trek, we did it. She was on the survival trek, they found some mountain and she got signal and she called me and like, Mom! Guess what they had me doing today? Okay. I listened. And I said, how did that make you feel? And, you know, I asked other things in between because that's what mothers do. Are you eating? Are you there? But you're surviving. You're getting through it. Be safe. Try not to get yourself killed. When she took herself off to Grenada to volunteer, we did the same thing. She'd call me up. Mom, Grenada's beautiful. Blah, 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 blah. Guess what they had me doing? No, what? This person said this. How did that make you feel? And we still do it. When she calls and she wants time, I give it to her. I know the language of love for my youngest. but I don't want to give you all of my secrets. Just to say that it really helped us. Now, let me tell you, this was not an overnight thing. There were many layers, but for the sake of time, I've condensed why words are important to me and how this led to an awakening that helped to heal and develop not only me, for me, but for my kids and parents I've worked with. Understand, it's a journey. And there are going to be different stops along the way. And my daughter now hates the word LOL. Knowing it's a journey means I am a little more patient about stuff. Because, I know that I can take some twists and turns. Discover, discard things that no longer serve my good. I can learn new things, reflect and adapt my practice, test it out and refine things and go through the cycle all over again because it's always moving forward. It's a day by day thing. And before you know it, it's 7 years later and I'm here sharing with you. And the journey continues. So, thanks for the experiment. Yes, the little applause and the buzzers, whatever. I can't hear them, but I'm trying to make this more interactive and interesting. And the jingle, yeah, I just came up with it. It'll probably change. Sometimes it will be there, sometimes it won't. Come on, people, you're on a journey with me. And I'm on a journey with you. So, share, subscribe. That's my advice. Because some of you, when I personally send the podcast out, and you're blessed, but I'm not always going to be in a position to send podcasts out. So please subscribe on one of the platforms available so that you can be alerted to when the next podcast is coming out. And it's normally going to be one a week. Just saying. So remember, thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves. Wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. Remain safe. Till next time, I am out. Food and dog, hashtag with Bev. Ooh, parent talk, hashtag with Bev.